I next met with Dr. Anne LaCase from Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston, who participated in our symposium at the ONS Congress on the Management of Lymphomas and Chronic Lymphocytic Leukemia. To begin, Dr. LaCase discussed how she evaluates a patient with newly diagnosed CLL.
The first thing with CLL is to think about whether the patient needs treatment. And a lot of the patients we initially meet do not need treatment, regardless of having oftentimes quite an elevated white blood cell count. So what we really focus on is the bone marrow able to make the other cells that are necessary, including red blood cells and platelets? Does the patient have large lymph nodes or an enlarged spleen that are causing symptoms? Does the patient have any other symptoms that are related to the underlying disease, which are usually fairly uncommon on initial presentation with CLL in this, unless someone has a really late pickup of their disease? So I think a lot goes into the education of the patient about what the disease is and what our long-term goals are, because we know that if we treat someone right away with CLL versus treating them when they have an indication for treatment, it doesn't change the overall survival. And our goal is to really support patients through what we hope to be many years of illness and treat when we need to and support them in other ways by looking out for risk of infection and making sure that they are properly vaccinated and get age-appropriate screening and all those other sorts of things.
Could you backtrack a little bit and talk about how you explain sort of what chronic lymphocytic leukemia is to a patient and, you know, sort of how to understand what to expect in the future?
So what I typically say to patients is chronic lymphocytic leukemia is a disease of the B lymphocyte, which is one of the immune cells that helps your body fight particular types of infections. And what happens, as with any cancer, is you have a single cell that essentially gets a mistake in the machinery of the cell and starts to copy itself. And you get a collection of cells that are all related to each other, growing sort of out of control, and that would be considered a malignancy. In terms of selection of therapy, we really make a big distinction between not only does the patient have a 17p deletion and look at that mutational status, but how old is the patient and do they have any comorbidities? So with older patients, we tend to use more gentle therapies like antibodies. Obinutuzumab and chlorambucil is a very good regimen for elderly patients. And when I mean elderly, you know, 75 to 80, there are certainly some 70-year-olds who are in pretty good shape. So we really try to look at the whole picture and not just the number of the age. And we know that that is an extremely tolerable combination and has better progression-free survival than using rituximab plus chlorambucil. In the younger patient who is mutated and does not have a 17p, this is the group where we still use chemoimmunotherapy, the fludarabine, cytoxan, and rituximab, because we know that those patients may have very prolonged remissions. And in fact, there may even be a subset of those patients who go on to be disease-free long-term. I think you have to follow people for many, many years and decades to know whether they are truly, quote, cured from the FCR. But we do push that because of that long-term data out of MD Anderson and other places. For younger patients who have 17p deletions, we go directly to novel agents, usually ibrutinib.